If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Welcome to the Monorail Tales. Rejoining me tonight is past guest Johnny from the DMSW podcast, back here to share with us a trip report on Disneyland, California. This is a trip that he recently took along with his son, Hunter. So, welcome back, Johnny. First trip to Disneyland.
Yeah, thank you for having me back on the show. I always have fun hanging out and talking with everybody from Monorail Tales, so thanks for having me back on.
Cool. Okay, well, because this was your first time and Hunter's first time, I'm gonna have lots of questions for you.
Sure.
But before
Sounds
we
good.
Start at the beginning of your trip, can we just do a quick refresh for our newer listeners on how you got to go on this trip? And why it was just Hunter that went with you and none of your other five kids?
Yeah, sure. So we have a lot of kids in our family. My wife and I, we have six kids together. We have Colby, who is 12. We have Sydney and Zoe, our twin girls, who just turned 11. We have Hunter, who's 9. Harper, who's about to turn 5. And Piper, who is 2. So we get a full deck of kids at home. And my wife is just the best mom, the best wife on the planet, and she's everything she does is for the kids and is always focused on giving them the best experience and the best memories that that we can get for them. So there's a lot of good things that come with having six kids, but then one of the bad things, or I shouldn't say bad things, but one of the tough parts about it is it's hard to get those one-on-one alone moments with all your kids and really have that close bonding experience with them. So Hunter is a massive Spider-Man fan. He's obsessed with all the movies, and he's got the Spider-Man costume that he wore for Halloween, but he wears it around the house randomly when he wants to be Spider-Man. When the newest movie just came out back in December, he asked, is it okay if I wear this to the movie? Absolutely, buddy. So he just loves Spider-Man. So we knew that Adventures Campus had opened out in Disneyland in California, and they had a brand new Spider-Man ride that was having a virtual queue. It was like one of those, just like Guardians opening up now in Disney World, that was the ride to get to. So around Christmas time, my wife talked to me and she's like, you know what? You just got to do a little alone trip with Colby not long ago. So I think for your Christmas present, I'm going to get you a trip to Disneyland with Hunter. I want you boys to have some one-on-one time and just let him live out all his Spider-Man glory there for a couple of days out in California. So that's what we did.
Wow, way to go, Mom.
Oh, absolutely. She's the best.
So, okay. So the big day has come, and let's just start with the morning of you leaving the house. You and Hunter must have been like over the moon excitement. But how did the rest of the family handle it?
They had their good days and they had their bad days. Colby was pretty okay with it because we had just done our one-on-one trip back in December. So he was like, that's fine. I got my Disney trip in, so I'm good. The twin girls, though, they were a little bit tougher to keep a smile on. So they were pretty bummed that Colby had just got something, and now basically they were getting skipped in line just by age, and Hunter was getting his trip. So they were a little tougher to keep happy about it. But at the end of the day, they understand. They know that we tell them all the time, it's even though it seems like somebody might be getting a little something extra right now, try not to be jealous, because we always make sure in the end it all comes around and everybody gets it pretty evened out when all is said and done. So they know that their time is coming, and they'll each get their alone trip eventually here in the future at some point. So, but Hunter was over the moon. He couldn't have been more excited that morning.
I really want to say, I think it's great how you do this with your kids, that they have that one-on-one time. So, okay, we got Hunter jumping around all over the place, I'm sure. You get to the airport. I'm assuming Hunter's flown before, yeah?
Just one time. That's the funny thing about us, even though we're up in Massachusetts, because we have so many kids, it's actually a pain in the butt to try to like get on a plane and travel with all of them. There's so many extra diaper bags and bottles and all kinds of extra baby and little kids stuff that you got to bring with you, that it actually ends up being easier for us and a little bit cheaper, obviously, in the long run too, to just bite the bullet and do the drive. So we actually drive down from Massachusetts to Florida. But the very first time we ever went to Florida, we flew out using credit card points for so we got to fly out for free. So that was his one and only time on an airplane, and that's when he was only 2 years old.
Oh, or
three,
okay.
Three.
So I mean, basically this was like a first time for him. How did he handle
Yeah, the first time flying? That he could remember.
Yeah.
He did great. He was super excited, and we loaded up some movies on the iPad ahead of time, and we ended up flying JetBlue. So when we first got on the plane, he slept a little bit, got a little nap in. He watched a movie on the iPad when he woke up, had a little snack, and then he looked at the TV on the JetBlue flight. They have TVs and all the headrests in front of you. So he was flipping through those movies, and then he noticed that the guy that was actually sitting next to me was watching Spider-Man. So he tapped me on the shoulder going, "Dad, how do I get Spider-Man on my TV too?" So we put Spider-Man on for him, and that's like 2.5 hours or something like that. It's a little over 2 hours. So that alone ate up a good chunk of the flight there. So it was pretty easy for him. He had a blast.
So what's the flight time?
It's a little over 6 hours going out. Ooh. And then with the jet stream coming home, it ends up being just under 6 hours.
I didn't think it was going to be that long for you guys. That's a long time.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Kind of like, they curve it up and you go actually like over the Great Lakes and then come down like through over Utah, through the Rocky Mountains and stuff.
Right. Okay, so which airport did you come in at? John Wayne or?
No, we flew right into LAX, and we did an Uber to get from the airport to the hotel. And I was actually like very impressed with how easy that was. I mean, anytime you're in a new airport and kind of unsure how things are going to be, and I'm thinking, oh my God, LA, it's going to be just an absolute mob scene at the Lyft and Uber section there. But when we're kind of following the signs for the rideshare programs and stuff like that, all of a sudden we get outside and like, okay, if you're doing a rideshare, you get on the shuttle bus and we'll take you to the rideshare area. So we just get on the shuttle bus. It's like maybe a 2 minute drive, like out of the terminal section of the airport. And then there's just this like massive, like empty parking lot set up with just like bus benches everywhere and tents and just signs with numbers and letters on them. So when you go in to the Uber or the Lyft app and you pick your ride, it just tells you exactly which bench number to go sit at.
Oh,
and
you
go right over to the letter and number and boom, your driver knows to pull up right to that spot. And it's super easy.
Wow. I've never gone into LAX. We always go into John Wayne.
Yep.
Now, how much, if you don't mind me asking, how much does it cost you guys to get from the airport to your hotel?
Trying to remember, it was expensive. I think it was like 70 or 80 bucks or so.
Okay.
But it's a 45 minute drive. I mean, it's a pretty long drive, so kind of expected.
I'm also asking for myself here because we're going up in September.
Yeah.
John Wayne's around the corner, so.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's like with anything with the Ubers and Lyfts too. It depends on like what time of day and what day of the week that you're coming in. It changes on the price based on when you're landing.
Right. Now, can you refresh me? How many nights were you going for, Johnny?
We did four nights. We got a deal for like buy three nights, get the fourth night free. So we flew out on a Monday. We did Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in the parks. And then Friday, we flew home.
Okay. And now you didn't stay on property, did you?
No, we looked at it, but the prices were just absolutely bonkers. Even like they have like a good, better, best type of situation, I think, with their three hotels that are considered Disneyland hotels. But even the most basic option, I think, I want to say it was like over $600 a night for the days that we were trying to go. So we just stayed at one of the good neighbor hotels. You can still book it all right through the Disney website. And if you just, like I said, if you don't pick one of the three Disney hotels and you just click on the tab for good neighbors, it lists like, I don't know, 40, 50 different hotels that are all partnered up with Disney. So I just picked one that could get the right hotel points off of, and had it came with free bus fare to get to and from the parks, and it had that buy three get the fourth night free deal too. So
right, the distance between your resort and the park gate, what would that have been?
It wasn't too bad. It was like three city blocks, maybe two city blocks, but because that's one of the things I noticed, that the biggest difference between Disneyland and Disney World is the transportation to get to and from everything. So we were literally like on like their city bus system that hits like the museums and Disneyland and all those like major like touristy attraction type of things. But the bus stop would pick us up at our hotel, but then some days we'd hit like two hotels on the way. Some days we'd hit five hotels. So I couldn't even figure out what their plan was on how they knew how many places to stop at or when to stop, because it was different every single day.
Right. So you're there, you're booked into your resort, you got your free bus tickets. How soon before you hopped on that first bus?
Oh, pretty quick. We got right into the hotel room, checked in, put our stuff down, and the funny thing is, the night before the trip, I was trying to record my podcast episode, because I try to put my episodes out on Mondays. So with the trip coming up and not going to be with the kids, I was trying to spend like Friday night and Saturday with all of them doing stuff. So by the time Sunday rolled around, I'm like, oh, clock's ticking, you're gonna have to get on this flight. It was super early. We left the house at like 3 a.m. on Monday, and it was like, at this point, it was like Sunday at like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, you got to do that podcast episode. You cannot go to bed until you record. So I was up to, I don't know, almost 1 o'clock in the morning trying to finish up that episode and get it all buttoned up and put online. And he woke up just excited and ready to go. He slept a good chunk on the plane. So when we got to that hotel room, he was all geared up and ready to go to the parks. And I was like, oh, I was hoping we could fit a little nap in, but he was too excited. So I mean, when you're with a little guy and you get that one-on-one time and they're just so excited, it's so hard to tell them no. So
yeah,
it was his trip. It was all for him. So the theme of the trip was anything he wanted. We found a way to try to pull it off and make it happen for him. So right away, we basically just, like I said, put the bags down, and we were on that bus heading, heading over there to check things out.
Okay. So this would have been Monday about lunchtime, California time?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Lunchtime in California. Yep. So we only had the park tickets for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So the plan was basically, let's just check everything out in downtown Disney. And he wanted to try the new snacks out there. And he's a big beignet fan, so he wanted to hit some beignets. So we hit the Dave Brennan's Jazz Kitchen and had lunch there. And then we just hit all the different stores and kind of took our time just walking up and down. I think Hunter hit every snack cart that was available in there. He turned into a churro fan very, very fast on this trip. So he had a couple of churros along the way. And like I said, he just hit every snack cart up and down downtown Disney. He had a blast.
Okay, so you didn't go into the parks that day. So you just kind of hung out downtown.
Yep.
How long were you kind of there for before you went back to your resort then?
We hung out for probably a good like 3 or 4 hours. I think it was like around 4, 4:30 or so, probably, before we kind of wrapped it up. And he wanted to go back and swim at the hotel pool. You could see the pool from our room looking down. So he was like, oh, I want to try that pool out. Let's go back and do the pool. So I was like thrilled. I'm looking at my watch going, okay, we've hit pretty much everything we can hit here in downtown Disney. We can't go in the parks. We're going to go back. He's going to swim in the pool. He's going to get super tired from swimming in the pool. And boom, it's going to be like 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. And we're going to get a nice long night of sleep. And it like just funny how it all worked out. Like we got back to the hotel. He gets all his bathing suit stuff on. He's all excited. We get down to the pool. It was freezing. For some reason, we couldn't figure it out. I don't know if it's just maybe the sun doesn't hit that part of the building during a good enough chunk of the day. So the water was very cold. So he only wanted to, he didn't even end up really going fully in and really swimming. He just kind of sat on the stairs like this bummed out face, like, oh, it's not working. But he went in the hot tub for a couple of minutes and warmed up in there. And then he was trying to like go to the hot tub and then back to the pool and the hot tub back to the pool. But it just wasn't working out for him. And he was like, oh, you know, this stinks. I really wanted to swim. And I was like, oh, sorry, buddy. You know, it doesn't always work out. We'll just kind of make the best of it. Maybe we'll head back to the room and hang out. You want to watch a movie or something? And he gave me that. Well, I would really like to try a Wetzel pretzel. Could we head back down to downtown Disney? I'd like to get a Wetzel pretzel. I was like, oh, no. So once again, my nap was just yoinked right out from underneath me. But he's just got the cutest little smile and the little face of the, please, can we go get a Wetzel pretzel? And like I said, when you have the life of 6 kids, you're just constantly, your head is spinning. You're just, there's always something going on, something with this kid, that when you get that one-on-one moment, you just want to soak it up and get every second of good memories that you can. So it didn't take very much effort on his part to convince me to, yeah, sure, buddy, let's go back to the room, we'll get changed, and we'll head right back up the street, go back to downtown Disney again. So that's what we did. Headed back up for another hour or two, just seeing the same stores, and he got his pretzel and hung out for a little bit, and then eventually we made it back to bed.
Yeah, actually, I've got 2 quick comments. The first one, I was very impressed when you said that you had been there all afternoon at downtown Disney.
Yep.
I don't think I could even do that. So very impressive. But the main question is, what the heck is a Wetzel pretzel?
It's just like their pretzel, like store. It's like Auntie Anne's pretzels or whatever. Okay. It's just one of those. It's like the name brand pretzel distributor that they have. downtown Disney.
Oh, sounds cool. So yeah, anyway,
just your standard regular pretzel, nothing too crazy.
Right, sounds good though. So yeah, you eventually get back to your resort. Does he conk out at that time, or is he still like the Energizer bunny?
Nope. By then, he had eaten all day. We had walked, I don't know how many miles up and down downtown Disney. So by the time we finally got back to the room and he had everything checked off his list, he had his shoes on, clothes on, like he just plump fell in the bed and was out in like literally 5 seconds. And I just let him sleep just like that for the night. And he slept straight through the entire night.
Now, there is 3 hours difference for me when we go to California. Are you? Yeah, you're the same, right?
Yeah, same thing. Yep.
So, okay, what time did you guys wake up in the morning because of this 3-hour difference? Did you wake up super early?
No. I don't know if it's just good travel genes maybe in us, but I've never had a problem with jet lag or traveling or any of the time change type of stuff. I'm lucky enough. I had a buddy of mine, my best friend from high school, got stationed out in Hawaii. I've traveled to Hawaii to see him a couple of times, and I don't know what it is. I just never had trouble with the time change, and Hunter picked up on it the same thing. He got his full night sleep in, and we woke up at the time we set the alarm for, at like 6 or 6:30, and he was good to go. So we grabbed breakfast at the hotel and we're ready to have our first Disney day.
And your first Disney day, where was it? And share some of the happy memories from that day.
Sure. Yeah. So like I said before, the whole point of this trip was Spider-Man, Spider-Man, Spider-Man. He is the biggest Spider-Man fan that I know. So he was all excited to do that first. So because we were only doing it for 3 days, and I kind of sided on the better be safe than sorry, and didn't know if we'd hit bad weather or if there'd be some ride malfunction. I didn't want to go all this way and spend all this money and then find out like he couldn't do the one Spider-Man ride that he wanted. So we made sure we put the California Adventure Day, the Tuesday and the Thursday, so that we, no matter what was going on, we'd make sure he got on that Spider-Man ride. So day one was Disney California Adventure, and we were there right for rope drop. And the very first thing we did was head over to that Spider-Man ride and do that.
So did you guys have to wait a long time to get on that ride?
No, it wasn't too bad. Like I said, we did rope drop it, so that probably helped. But I think it was that first time in the morning there, it was only about 25 minutes. It wasn't too bad at all.
So tell us about the ride.
It was pretty cool. It's different from what you've done. Like I said, I'm a Walt Disney World kind of homebody. That's my home park. That's the place that we've always gone to with the kids and for our vacation. So this was all new stuff to me. And I guess the best comparison I could give it would be the Toy Story Mania ride in Walt Disney World. And you sit in like this little cart. In the Toy Story one, you have like a little like toy gun with like a rope and a ball, and you just pull on that ball and it shoots all the little different darts and stuff at the targets on the wall as you go from room to room. And the Spider-Man ride is kind of the same bones of the structure. You're in like a big ride vehicle that travels around from like different room to different room, and then the doors open up and you have all these targets that you're going to shoot at. But instead of the Toy Story ride where you're like pulling on a physical rope and like a little toy gun, you get to pretend like you are Spider-Man. They tell you to just like Spider-Man does in the movie, you like shoot your arms out in front of you and like move your hands like you're shooting webs, just like you were literally like you were Spider-Man. Oh. So that's what you get to do on the ride. The story behind it is like Spider-Man messes up some little robot in the science room, and the spiders get out of control and they just start replicating, and there's little spider robots everywhere. So you're there to help Spider-Man and use your webs, and you blow up all the little spider robots.
Okay, educate me here, because I don't know if I dreamt it or if it is really true. Is there things that you can buy to also use on this ride?
Yeah, so you can just do the ride with no extra add-ons, and you just literally use your arms and just shoot them out in the air, and somehow with whatever technology they got in there, it really is amazing too. Like it's like a video game. Like you're looking at the screen and you have the 3D goggles on, and you can see these little spider robots in front of you, and you really can like make adjustments like with the direction that you flick your wrist and your hand, and you'll see like when you shoot that web, sometimes you just miss the spider to the left or to the right, and if you just adjust your hand a little bit and do it again, you'll hit that robot. So it really is impressive how pinpoint the accuracy can be on that ride.
Now, did you guys end up buying any of these little gadgets to help you on the ride, or just went with the ride?
Yeah, so the very first time we did it, we just did the ride as is, just to try to get on it as fast as possible. And then later on in the day, before we kind of closed it out for the night, we made sure we got it on it again. And before that time, we went into the store, got them the little setup. So you basically like have this thing that gets buckled onto your wrist, and then there's different attachments that you can put on the end of it. So if you buy just the base unit, what it does is when you're on the ride, it actually syncs up with Bluetooth. And instead of when you like move your arm to shoot the webs, instead of one spider web coming out, you actually get three. So it kind of just makes your accuracy a little bit better, because you just kind of shoot it in the general area of the spider and you're probably going to get it because it's shooting out three webs. And then we got him the attachment that goes onto it that actually makes it electric webs. So your webs are a little bit powerful, but it really is cool. He tried it all, and we went on the ride multiple times because he loved it so much. So he tried it with the electric webs, he tried it with the three webs, and he tried it with no extra add-ons, and he had a blast every single time.
Well, I can see Steve going to the store and buying little gadgets to help his score go up. I'll tell you.
Oh yeah, you got to admit they do it right. Like, I mean, the devices, it looks just like what Spider-Man kind of has in the movie. So it's, and they have like fancier ones too. Like they have like shiny chrome ones that, like, I saw multiple adults walking around the park holding or wearing those like fancy chrome metal Spider-Man web shooter things too. So the Disney does it right. They know how to make you want to buy everything in that gift shop.
Oh, okay. So this is something that you can keep on your hand even after the ride then. And
yeah, yep. It's got lights. Yeah, it's got little lights on it, makes noises, and it has like a little like rope that shoots out of it, so it looks like a little spider web coming out of it. It's pretty cool.
For some reason, I get this image of all these thousands of kids being Spider-Man in the park, arms going everywhere. But
yeah, you definitely see it. You see a lot of kids walking around, and that's, I don't know if we'll get into it at some point here, I'm sure later too, is how good Disneyland is at the character interactions. For all the time that we spent in that park, I don't think we ever walked through the Avengers campus and didn't cross paths with or see at least one superhero character walking around and like interacting with people. And you'd see it all the time. The Black Widow would come through and she'd find a couple little girls and she'd go over there and like talk to the parents, and then she'd take the girls with her and they'd walk all through Avengers campus and she'd be pointing to things and talking to them. And Thor would come out and he'd see some little kid wearing a Thor t-shirt. He'd go grab that kid and do the same thing, walk him around. So the character interactions that they have there are awesome. And you see all these little kids decked out in their Spider-Man gear and they're walking, holding the hands with Spider-Man. So if you like watching other people like have those Disney magic moments, just go hang out Avengers Campus all day long. The sparkles that you see in those kids' eyes just all day long in that section of the park was incredible.
Well, I will certainly, you know, add that to my list for when I get up there in September, for sure.
Definitely.
I know they have the Spider-Man show because I saw your video of that.
Yep.
Which looked pretty cool.
Very cool.
What else did you and Hunter get to experience at the park that day?
So they have Doctor Strange, who's the newest MCU movie that just came out. He's got like his little mini sanctorum, they call it there, his little like magic shop area, and it's basically like a little outdoor like theater in the round type of thing. So they have shows scheduled all throughout the day, so if you show up at the right time, you can get in line and head in there, and Dr. Strange comes out, he does his little song and dance, and then he'll typically bring out another superhero, like he'll just like in the movies, like he opens that big portal and waves his hand in the air, and then the doors open up and you see that like the same looking portal that you see in the movie, and then the Scarlet Witch will be there, or America Chavez is the one that we saw. We were there right after the movie had just come out, so we got to see that character that was the newest Marvel character to come in the movie.
Right, that was one of my questions about the cast members, and that's nice to know. What was the crowd level like? I'm trying to think, what date did you go? Jennifer, be March, April, May?
Yeah, we were there the very first week of May. So I was looking at the crowd calendars ahead of time because we didn't have a set date that we had to be there. So we were trying to find like the perfect time to go where the crowds would typically be a little bit lower than usual. So we were looking, I think we were originally looking to go, I want to say it was like in February, or it was like late February or early March. But when I went to actually try to go book the trip, it listed out all the rides that were currently under refurbishment, and it was like half of Disneyland was under refurbishment. And I was like, ugh, I don't want to go all the way out there, and the majority of the rides, we can't even do them. So we waited and pushed it off to that first week of May, and it wasn't too bad. It just, I mean, like your most popular rides, they were typically like best case down to like 45 minutes for a standby line. And at their worst, they were like it's 60 or 65. So not unbearable, but definitely not like dead quiet either.
Now, how did you find the weather?
Weather was perfect. It was like sunny and low 80s, high 70s every single day. It was absolutely beautiful.
That is one thing I do like about Disneyland. You know, you can still get the heat of the day, but, you know, come evening, that the mountain air comes in and out comes the sweater.
Yeah, no humidity. It was great.
Yes. So more comfortable. So I'm just trying to think, because the last time I went was, oh my gosh, it must be nearly 5 years now. And so much has changed. Did you get over to Cars Land?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Cars Land, I mean, they were individual rides that we liked better. Like the Guardians of the Galaxy ride was easily like the most fun ride that we had there. Absolutely love that ride. The Incredicoaster in California Adventure was great. So there were a lot of rides that we really, really enjoyed. But I definitely have to say, the number one thing that just absolutely blew me away from my experience there was how amazing Cars Land is.
Mm.
I mean, Galaxy's Edge is really cool, and Pandora is absolutely beautiful, but it's not their fault when I say it this way, because it's just, it looks like stuff that you've kind of seen in the movies, but it's not directly ripped from the movie. Like, it's just, there's not, when you're walking through Batu, there's not like a scene in the movies where they're in that same exact spot. So you feel like you're in a Star Wars kind of thing, but you don't feel exactly like, okay, I remember seeing this in the movie. But you get that with Cars Land. Like, you walk down that street and you're like, just your mind is like, you are literally in the Cars movie right now. It is incredible how well they've done the theming in that whole entire area. It is awesome.
I think some of my best photos of my, you know, my trips up there has been from that area. It's true what you're saying. You walk in there and it's like you're in the movie.
Yeah. And then at nighttime, it's even better at nighttime. Once it gets dark and those neon lights turn on, it's crazy. It is the largest area that I've ever been in Disney, where, like I said, you literally feel like you are in the actual movie. I was just blown away at how amazing that was.
And believe it or not, I did go on the ride.
Oh, awesome. The Radiator Springs Racers?
Yeah. I'll go on again. I can remember getting halfway round and, you know, through gritted teeth telling Steve, this is not my kind of a ride. But yeah, I've experienced it. I can say
very
that.
Cool. Yeah, it's very similar to Test Track. That's the thing, is you kind of pick up a lot of these rides that you're doing. They kind of have like their brother or sister version in Walt Disney World. But to me, I mean, Test Track is great. It's one of my top 10 favorite rides in Walt Disney World. But the theming is just, it carries right into the ride. You go through the multiple different scenes that you saw in the movie. So for as great as Cars Land is, it just carries right into that ride. It's just awesome. I can't say enough good things about Cars Land and that whole experience from that section of the park. It was just awesome.
Do you feel like you're at Walt Disney World in a park, or do you really feel that, you know, hey, I'm in California?
Yeah, you know, it definitely feels different. It really does. It's obviously like smaller and more compact, and especially like just that first day going there before we even went into the parks, to just kind of walk through that courtyard area for the first time and just stand in the middle where everyone's taking pictures and be like, look, there's California Adventure right there. There's Disneyland right there and Downtown Disney right here. Like, everything that they have is all within a 2-second walk of each other. So you definitely feel that like more compact feeling. But the other thing, it's almost hard to like kind of really explain it like without sounding like a weirdo, but it just, I feel like you can pick up on the magic better in Disneyland. And the example I gave when I talked about it on my podcast was like, I almost feel like if there was an Imagineer in Disneyland and an Imagineer in Disney World, every time they went to their boss and was like, hey, we got this really cool idea. It's going to be a little bit extra money and it's going to take a little extra time, but like, I really think it will improve the overall guest experience. I feel like 10 out of 10 times that situation in Disneyland, the supervisor is like, do it. do it. Yep, I don't care what it costs. Go the extra mile. This is Walt's place. He would have done it, so do it. Just spend whatever you need to spend and build whatever you want to build to make it the best possible thing you could. And I, now that I've been, I kind of, when I think about it in, on the Disney World side, I almost feel like if, when that situation comes up, like the boss or the supervisor is like, well, this is good enough. I don't think we need to go that far. Like they just, they don't go that extra mile, where I feel like Disneyland is doing it every single time.
Yeah.
That's not I'm not trying to knock Walt Disney World. Like, that's my home park. It's basically, it's the only one we've ever been to before this trip. And I never walk through Disney World and feel like, oh, you know, it feels like they're really cutting corners here. Like, I don't, you don't feel like there's no magic, or that it's not an amazing place, an amazing trip the entire time. That's not how I mean it. It just, once you go to Disneyland, you're like, whoa, there's actually another level past Disney World that I didn't even think could exist.
I think that is such a great answer. And you haven't even got to Magic Kingdom yet. You're just, you know.
Yep.
Actually, before the show started, I was saying to Steve, one of my questions is, you know, the difference between Walt Disney World and, you know, Disneyland. And it's going to be a question that is going to come up. You know, is there anything in California Park you did not like? And Steve said, oh, he better not say he doesn't like anything, otherwise he'd not be on the show again, knowing how much I love Disney. But I am going to test you, Johnny.
All right.
I know you spent Thursday at the same park. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to leave foods and snacks for the Thursday edition of this park. Great.
No problem.
So my question for California Adventure, was there anything that you would have liked to have seen different?
I don't think so. I think they really, really nailed that park. It's like I said, everything that I was doing there, because I've been to Disney World so many times and I have so much passion and love for that place. Everything that I was doing, it's impossible to not have it running through your head, like comparing it to what you do in Walt Disney World. And California Adventure, I feel like is their version of Hollywood Studios. But I can't think of anything that we did or that we walked around and checked out that I just wasn't impressed by or thought wasn't worth it. It was really awesome. The Incredicoaster, I don't know what it is about like hearing music when you're on a ride, but like I don't feel like you get that at other like non-Disney parks, like Six Flags and stuff like that. I can't think of that experience of being on a cool ride, but also having the music pumped into your ear the entire time. And the Incredicoaster it's just like the only word I can keep thinking about is fun. It is the most fun experience that you can have on a roller coaster ever. It's the theming is great. It's all themed around the Incredibles Pixar movie. But every time you go in the tunnels, there's a different scene of stuff going on with the Incredibles characters. At one point, they use those smellitizers and pump the smell of chocolate chip cookies into your face. And to be on a roller coaster going that fast and hearing the Incredibles theme like blaring in your ear, like you're just like so excited and into it. And then to get hit in the face with the chocolate chip cookie smell, it's like this is just Disney magic at its finest. They nail it every single time. It's just incredible.
Now, last time you were on with us, we were talking about the big wheel, the Ferris wheel.
Sure. Yep.
And the swinging. And I think the episode I listened to you and Hunter, he had made some mention about it on the episode. Yep. And, you know, I'm going to say it here and now. Listeners, if you want to hear Hunter's version of this trip, please go over to the DMSW podcast. The last two episodes that's just come out do contain Hunter's version of this trip. So listen to this, but definitely go over to the DMSW podcast.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, to hear that magic right from the 9-year-old's mouth is pretty fun.
So tell me, did you guys, for our listeners, you got this big wheel, the big Ferris wheel, and you got swinging seats. Which ones did you go on?
We did the swing of seats. It's one of those like dad moments where like you know your kid and you know what they can handle, but you know sometimes that if you gave them the choice that they might kind of opt out of it. So that was one of those like, maybe I'm not going to really explain to him what's going on here. I'm just going to tell him we're going on that. And while that was one of the longer waits that we were actually in, just the way the time hit. There were times during the day where that got down to like just 10 or 15 minutes. But the time that we were over there trying to get on it, it ended up being like closer to a half an hour. But the whole time we're in line, he just kept looking up every once in a while. And for the first chunk of the line, like he wasn't saying anything, but like I could see him kept looking up. But then as we got a little bit closer and closer, and you could hear the screams from the people in the baskets that move and slide down, he's like, are we going to be going on one of those ones that move? And I was like, yeah, buddy, that's the one we're going on. He's like, oh no. But, He braved it out. He got on it, and he had a blast. So, like, once he got on it, it's so fun, so cool to be up that high and to get that little bit of a little quick roller coaster feeling in your stomach with the drop there. It was pretty cool.
We are going to go back to this park for your Thursday visit, and I got different questions that I will throw at you at that point. But sure. I would like to just jump to Wednesday, if that's okay with you, which sure. was your Magic Kingdom day.
Yep.
So did you get there for rope drop again?
Yep. Yep. We did rope drop there as well.
Now, I know last time you were on our show, Johnny, Steve and I had asked you about, you know, when do you think you're going to feel the magic bubble that we all go through? You know, that bubble that you know you've left the real world and you're in fantasy when we all go to Walt Disney World. Had you, by the Wednesday, felt that yet?
Yeah, as soon as you get into the park itself, you're instantly an adult baby again, and you're just smiling from ear to ear and soaking it all in just like the kids are and enjoying the magic, and you forget about sports and politics and the news and every ridiculous thing that's going on in the real world, and you're just totally in that Disney bubble living it up.
So now you're entering Magic Kingdom. Tell me your experience of what you felt once you went through the gates.
Yeah, so I mean it's almost weird in a way because it looks so similar to Magic Kingdom. Like even the outside, when you get through where they scan your My Disney Experience app there or whatever to get into the park, there's that same like elevated like flower and grass section, and you can see the train station, and you go underneath and you see that Walt Disney sign there over your head as you go under, and then you walk in and you're like, I'm in Magic Kingdom right now. Like this is exactly the same to me. Like it's so crazy to be this far away, but you feel like you're in the same, you get that same like happy feeling you get going down Main Street USA. But then I just get that, I got a different experience that like, I knew it was going to feel different, but I was blown away at how different it really was. Because I always think of all these times when I'm in Magic Kingdom and I'm watching families come in and they turn that corner and look down Main Street for the first time, and you see this like look of amazement on their face when they see the castle for the first time. And as a lifelong Disney World goer, like that's the only castle I've ever known. So to me, it's always been the castle. Like it's just, that's what it is. And like, I just could never connect the dots where when somebody would come in, it would just be absolutely blown away. Like, oh my, it's so big, it's so incredible, it's so amazing. And I agree, it's beautiful, it's amazing, it's one of those icons of Disney World. But like, I just couldn't get like how amazed people were. But then after seeing the castle in Disneyland, I was like kind of one of those, oh, okay, I get it. Because when you come down Main Street and you're like, I'm like going up on my tiptoes going like, well, where's the castle? Like, is it not here today? Like, is it under construction or something? Like, you really had to like squint to see it all the way down the end of the street. And as we got closer, I was just blown away at the difference of what that castle looks like compared to what we're so used to and I guess spoiled with here in Magic Kingdom. To get that massive a castle is just such a different experience.
And it's kind of funny because I suppose when it was first built, people going under that train station and looking up would be thinking, wow, look at the size of that castle.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, once you get right up to it, it was you kind of lose that, like, it's totally beautiful, and you kind of lose that, like, size perspective comparing it back to Magic Kingdom. Like, it's still obviously a little bit smaller, but, like, it doesn't feel, like, awkwardly small when you're right up in front of it and taking pictures of it and walking through it and underneath it there. But when you're very first time coming down Main Street all the way at the end there near the park entrance, it really is kind of shocking to see how small it looks the first time you see it.
And I think you described that really well, actually, because I can remember that was my exact feeling of, oh my gosh, it's so small, you know?
Yep.
But there you are, Main Street, Disneyland. Did you, yeah. I mean, you know me and you know my love for Magic Kingdom, you know, Walt and walking in his steps. Did you get any sense of that or was that something you didn't feel?
Yeah, I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier there. Like, it's almost hard for me to describe, but like, you get that feeling of like Walt's touch or Walt's magic. There's just something different about the everything, just everywhere you walk and everywhere you go. You just, I felt like I guess I've never been in Walt Disney World and like really like felt like, oh my God, like this, like I could picture Walt walking through here. Or like I could feel that like connection to what he cared about and what he thought about in Disney World. But in Disneyland, it's, to me, it was like unavoidable. Like I almost like looking over your shoulder, like, well, is he going to be here somewhere? Mm-hmm. Like, is he going to be walking around here with us? Like you just really feel that connection to Walt himself walking around Disneyland. And I think that's kind of the charm to it. Like it is a little bit smaller. It's more compact, but you get there's something with that too. There's more emotion. There's more connection to the magic, I feel like, when you're there.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I can talk about it, but I think you actually have to be there to understand, you know, what you and I are trying to convey. Because I know, I think I said it on the last show that you were on with us when we were talking about this. I've got pictures of Walt where he stood in certain, you know, spots in that park. When I went and stood in those same spots, and it's kind of a eerie feeling of, oh my gosh, Walt Disney actually stood here.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, you can't do that at Walt Disney World. And that, you know, it's, I'm going to derail this. So I better shut up because I could go on for days about Magic Kingdom there. So anyway, you've walked up Main Street, you've seen the castle. What's some of the things that you and Hunter do for the day?
We tried to hit as many of those rides that exist in both places because we love to compare and contrast how they stack up against Walt Disney World. So one of the first things we did was Big Thunder because that's one of Hunter's top five favorite rides in Walt Disney World. So we did Big Thunder. And again, same thing, like that's in on my episode when I talk about kind of comparing the two and kind of feeling like the Imagineers get to do whatever they want in Disneyland, but they might be held back a little bit in Walt Disney World. And to me, Big Thunder is one of those perfect examples. The first hill that you go up, there's like a water feature to it. So you can you reach out and you can touch the water on your hand, which is, you don't get that experience in Walt Disney World. And then one of the other climbs, when you go into one of the tunnels, you're going up the slow climb, but you're passing like all these like boxes of, you can see the TNT on the side of them and they have lights going up. And so you're like following the little detonation charge going up. You can see the little fire going up the thing. And then you hear the big explosion sound and they have like the steam cloud come in. So it's just, it's like I said, they just go the extra step, I felt like, in a couple of different places where you're maybe not seeing that in Walt Disney World. So it kind of just, it's basically the same ride itself, but there's those couple little extra things that just really kind of push it a little bit further down the magic path, I guess you could say.
I find it really interesting, Johnny, that you've done it this way. I mean, for me, mind you, there's a lot of rides I wouldn't have gone on, but my first thing was to go to, you know, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride and all the things they didn't have at Walt Disney World. So to do it your way that's really interesting. Okay, Small World. I take it you rode that. That's different.
We did. It's a small world. In Disney World, it's kind of like one of those, I'll do it once and that's it. Like, I'm good for the next year from now or a year and a half from now when we come back the next time. But the Disneyland one, I like that better than the Disney World version too. And then, again, same thing. Like, part of it is just the layout of the parks. And in Disney World, is you can understand the way where that building is and how they have to make it work. You can't really have an outdoor element to the boats, but that's a really cool part of the Disneyland version, I think, to be outside for the beginning and and get the sunlight on you when you're on the boat and you pass all the different little topiaries that are shaved down to look like Disney characters. It's an added element to the ride. And then going through the ride itself, you're typically just kind of, you get lost in those thousands of dolls and that incredibly annoying song. But like the Disneyland version, we noticed that they had put different characters from the animated movies through all the different rooms and all the different sections of the ride. So like that kind of became like our little game or fun thing that we're doing on the ride that kind of distracts you. Like the song, it's still playing in the back of your mind, but like we were more focused on like, oh, look, there's Finding Nemo and Dory. Look, there's Buzz and Woody's Woody and Jesse from the Toy Story movie and Cinderella and all these different characters. So it's kind of a different little added element. It's still the same song and the same ride, but you get those little extra things sprinkled in there as well.
Okay, which ride do you prefer, the Pirates at Disneyland or Disney World?
See, that was one of our bummers. That ride was on refurbishment at the time that we were there. It killed me because when we first booked the trip, it wasn't listed as a ride with refurbishment. That's why I picked that week in May. But then again, I thought about it after the fact too, because it must have been like part of the COVID thing too. Like it seemed like we kind of really moved forward in leaps and bounds there through the spring of 22 with COVID things changing and rules going back to normal. So at the time, I don't think it was on the schedule, but somewhere between when we booked and when we actually showed up in person, that ride got put on the refurbishment list. So unfortunately, we did not get to do Pirates. I was very bummed out.
Now, Haunted Mansion, did you see any differences?
Yep, we did. We did get to do Haunted Mansion, so that was cool. And the difference there is we definitely noticed that like part of the queue getting before you even get into that Doom Buggy, part of that queue that you walk through, that's part of the actual ride in Walt Disney World. So in playing the game here of contrasting and comparing all the time, I actually like the Disney World Haunted Mansion better because it's a longer experience actually riding in the Doom Buggy. You get to see more stuff on the actual ride where is Disneyland. It felt like, okay, maybe they're just their ride set up, the building location, they can't fit as much on the ride. So some of the stuff that you see is just while you're walking through the actual queue.
Now, was there any other rides that are located in both parks that you went on that had differences?
Yeah, we did Splash Mountain as well. And I'm trying to think of what else. Jungle Cruise. We did the Jungle Cruise and the Star Tours ride. But Splash Mountain, for the most part, it felt like pretty much the same thing. The ride vehicle itself is a little bit different. In Disney World, you're kind of in a bench with like you sit next to somebody, where in Disneyland, it's a skinnier log. So everyone's one in a row in front of each other. So a little bit of a different ride vehicle. But all for the most part, that Splash Mountain felt pretty much the same. Star Tours was literally like the exact same thing. The Buzz Lightyear ride, where you're shooting the little lasers at the bad guys, pretty much the same thing.
Now, last time you were on, we talked about the monorail. Mm-hmm. Were you able to go and sit in the front cab?
We weren't, no. So that was that. Unfortunately, that was one of the COVID things, because I remember we had talked about it, and I was so excited telling Hunter as we're going through the line, like, oh, we're going to get to, I got a special treat for you, buddy. I'm going to wait till we get up there. I'm going to give you a special treat when we get on this monorail. And it was the same thing that happened to me in Walt Disney World when we were riding it with the kids. Like, we're like going through the line. I'm telling my wife, I'm like, watch this. Watch what I'm going to pull. I'm going to pull some Disney magic out of my pocket. And she's like, what are you talking about? And it was, I did the same thing happened with Hunter. He's like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We get all the way up there. And I was like, so, excuse me, is there any way I could get my son, even if we have to wait for the next monorail or even two monorails, can we wait so we can get to ride in the front? And they're like, oh, no, we don't do that anymore. That's a COVID change. We don't allow anybody in the cabin with the driver. I was like, oh, bummer. So we didn't get to do that, but we did get to ride it. So it was a good experience.
I feel so bad.
No, it's okay. I'm now 0-2 with that trick. So the next, I think I've said it to you before, like when we've talked on the phone or texted each other. The next time I go to Disney World, I'm gonna have to make sure that Al can meet me there at the monorail station, so I can pull my Al magic card out and say, like, no, Al's here. He's gonna drive this one, and he's gonna let me come in the front with the kids.
But it is different, you know, the seats are different, you know, you're looking out and not forward.
Yeah, and having the windows down was cool. Feeling a breeze when you're on the monorail was cool.
Yeah. Now, what was, okay, so you did the compare of the rides for both parks. Now, I'm assuming you went on the rides that they don't have at Walt Disney World.
Honestly, I don't think we really got too many of those. I was, like, I was kind of letting Hunter take the driver's seat, and he's got all the spunk and energy of a little boy. So he's looking for the excitement and the fun rides. It was actually hard to convince him to get on like the Walt Disney train and the monorail, because it wasn't fast enough or funky enough. So. So he just kind of wanted to skip all those Fantasyland rides. So we walked through them all. We checked them all out, and he kind of asked about the Pinocchio ride. He's like, oh, what's that big whale over there? And I was like, you want to try it out, buddy? He's like, nah, let's go do Star Tours or something. So we actually missed out on all those slower moving rides.
So you didn't do the storybook ride then?
Nope. Missed all of those.
You see, I like that park for that, because I get to go on more rides than, you know, when I go to Magic Kingdom at
Disney World.
Yeah,
same here. I love all the excitement and all the fun rides, but I have no problem anytime the kids want, like the little kids want to go do a nice slow ride. I'm all for you're putting 12, 13, 14 miles on your feet all day long. If you get a chance to go sit on the teacups or something and just have a nice slower ride, sign me up. I'm all for it. But Hunter wanted nothing to do with the slow stuff this trip.
Okay, so you got there for rope drop. Did you guys stay all day, or did you head back to your resort at any time?
Yep, nope. We're there's all different philosophies and styles of going to Disney, and we have always been like rope drop to park close type of people. Like, it's, we always look at it as like, the where's the value, and you spend so much money on that ticket that we want to get every minute of that ticket that we can possibly get. So where some people like will go to the park in the morning, they'll go back and take a break and swim in the pool and relax in the afternoon and then go back at night. We're there all day long. And then typically on our Walt Disney World vacation, we'll schedule like literally entire days off in between some of our park days. So that's where we get our rest and relaxation in. But for this trip, we were there to have fun, and we were there to get every minute out of it we could. So we went from open to close all 3 days that we did parks. But unfortunately, that's another one of those like planning things where when I booked the trip originally, I did not see anything on the calendar telling me, and shame on me as a Star Wars and Marvel fan for not thinking logically in my head that the day that we set up to do Magic Kingdom, or I'm sorry, Disneyland, it was May the 4th. So it was like, it was Star Wars party day at Disneyland. So in the morning, when we first got to Rope Drop, we're looking around and you could see a couple, like you could see a good amount of people wearing Star Wars t-shirts, and a couple people had lightsabers in their hand, and like, oh, okay, yeah, May the 4th, it's going to be Star Wars Day here. But they actually closed the park early that night and had a private like Star Wars party. From they closed the park at 8 p.m. and then from I think it was like 8 to midnight was the Star Wars party. And it was funny, the longer we were there during the day, the more and more intense the Star Wars costumes and the amount of people in costumes got. So in the morning, like I said, it was just kind of some people in t-shirts, and you definitely saw some lightsabers here and there. But by like 5-6 o'clock at night, when we were getting to that time where the park was going to close to people that didn't have that special ticket, it was literally like being in a Star Wars convention. Like, wow. every person there was in Jedi cloaks, and girls with makeup and like tentacles coming off the top of their heads, and everybody had a lightsaber, and they were all out and they were all turned on. So it was a Star Wars Fest 2022 that day. Wow. For sure. Yeah.
What a great experience though. You know, to
yeah. So it was fun, but it was like another bummer, like similar to like the Pirates thing too. We were very excited to see, cause Hunter's never seen the Main Street Electrical Parade, and we didn't get to do that either because of the Star Wars party. So we missed out on that.
So you didn't see any fireworks or anything at Magic Kingdom?
No. Then? Nope. So they had just brought back the fireworks at the end of April, but they were only doing them on like Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, and we were there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So we weren't going to get to see the fireworks anyways, but we literally were like planning and excited to do the Main Street Electrical Parade. But because of the Star Wars party, we didn't get to do it.
Well, that's a shame. What about...
Just means we'll have to go back, right?
Yes, definitely. What did you do for food at Magic Kingdom?
So with the funny thing with Hunter is he has the most basic palate that you can ever have. He is strictly like pasta, and not even pasta with like sauce or meatballs or anything. Like he won't eat meatballs, he won't eat sausage. It is literally just pasta with butter, or bread and butter, or breadstick, garlic bread type of thing. He won't even eat pizza. So he is just the most basic appetite and taste bud. So we really didn't get to try any like fancy restaurants or any type of out there food experience. It was pretty much pretzels and churros for him all day long. We'd have like a nice breakfast at the hotel every morning, and he'd get some fruit and pancakes and stuff like that. But when we're in the parks, he basically just lived off the snacks all day long. And for dinner, it was just, we'd go somewhere and get pasta with butter for him. That was it.
Wow.
No good Disneyland food content for you. It was just churros. Hunter will gladly talk to you about churros for an hour and a half if you want to talk to him. He had every different flavor, every different style of churro that you could get. He turned into Mr. I was calling him Mr. Churro on the vacation, because that's all he wanted to eat was every churro we passed. He wanted to try it.
And they certainly make the best ones up in California, for sure.
Yeah, they do. It was good.
What about you? Did you try anything that you've never tried before?
No, I have a pretty boring palate too. And because we were just so focused on doing the rides and getting in as much as we could for him for that part of the trip, I didn't want to like force him to go to a restaurant and have to sit through it and go through all that. So I just kind of went with the flow and did what he did. We kind of eat snacks during the day, and then when it came time for the one meal, I think I got a pizza. I think we did Pizza Planet in Disneyland that night, so he got the pasta and butter, and I just got an individual little cheese pizza. So nothing crazy. When it comes to food, we're pretty boring.
Right. So, okay, it's the end of the day. You're heading back to the resorts. How wiped out are you guys? Because you've been going for 2 days straight now.
Yeah. Very tired. And just waiting, just like in Disney World, you go to the bus stop area and the little kids are falling asleep on your lap. But that's part of the fun of the experience for me as the parent to get those moments of just me and Hunter hanging out and him falling asleep on my arms or leaning against my shoulder is just, that's some of my favorite moments from the trip, is just getting those moments with him.
Oh, that's so nice. Aww.
Yeah, it was a good time.
All right. So I want us to go back. Now we're Thursday. So we're going back to California Adventure. Yes?
Yep. Yep.
So do you go into the park with a different plan as such because you've been there, you've spent a day there? Do you have different ideas how you're going to spend your last day there?
Yep. And Hunter ran me through the plan like on the bus ride there. He's like, listen, Dad, the first day we were here, we did all the different rides that we could do. We tried all the new stuff. He's like, I got four rides. The Incredicoaster, Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man, and the Radiator Springs Racers. That's all I want to do today. So literally, that's all we did. That Thursday, we just did a constant loop of those four different rides. And we take little breaks and we try like the ice cream over there on Pixar Pier. Or we'd go just let him grab a churro and go sit in the shade and hang out for a little bit. But when it came to rides, it was literally just those were his four favorite rides the entire time we were there. And he just wanted to do those over and over and over again. And that's what we did.
So if I asked if you guys went to see any stage show, it would be a waste of a question.
Unfortunately for you, yes, it would. Yep. Hunter was there for his fun ride. So that's all we did.
Okay. Now, once again, did you stay all day?
Yep. Same thing. We went rope drop to park close, and I'll give him credit too. He was definitely feeling it at the end of every night that we were there in every park, and we get close to, and he'd be looking at like his watch and be like, Dad, what, how many more rides can we get in? Can we get onto another ride? I'm like, we'd get down to like 15, 20 minutes before park close. And I'd say to him like, all right, buddy, we got like 15 minutes left. You can get on any ride you want and the park will close. But as long as you're in line before the park closes, they'll let you stay on and actually get the ride in. And every day he'd pick a ride that he wanted to get in one last time. And all three times he's like the ride would the line was like, because it'd be the most popular ride at the park. So it was typically like a 45 minute wait, and we'd be 20, 25 minutes into the wait, the park would close and he'd see people leaving, and he kind of give me that look of like, how much longer do you think it's going to be? And I'm like, it's up to you, buddy. If you want to head out and go back to the hotel, it's your call. But to his credit, all 3 days, he's nope, we're doing it. We're staying in line. I'm not getting out of this ride. So we rope dropped to park close all 3 days.
Wow. What a trooper.
Yep.
Now, park closes. How are you guys feeling? You know, this is it. This was your last moment, your last ride. You're walking to catch your bus.
Yeah, it was bittersweet. I mean, it was missing the other kids back at home like crazy. Like, so I was excited to be able to get back home and get all the hugs from all of them. Cause the good and the bad with being out of the house and being away from them is once you get back, you're like the king. Like, they just want to hang out with you and give you all the attention. So I knew I was going to be coming home to lots of hugs from the five that were still back at home. So I knew that was coming, but at the same time I could tell like it was starting to wear on Hunter. He knew it was winding down, and he knew the fun was going to be over, and he was not excited to go back to school and come back home to the other crew of the craziness that is our house. So he was definitely bumming out there the last night getting on the bus heading back.
You know, I can understand that. No matter how much you love your siblings, you know, for what, 3-4 days, he was one of one, and now he's back to one of six.
Yeah, again. One of one, and it was the Hunter show. It was anything he wanted to do, we try to find a way to make it happen for him, and he got to call the shots. And when you're in Disney World with four or five kids like we've done before, everyone gets a turn picking their ride, and sometimes you get to do a ride you like, and sometimes you're forced to go on the Anna and Elsa sing-along show when you don't want to type of thing with them. So he got 3 full days, park closed to park open, of whatever ride he wanted to do, let's go do it. If we just done it 3 times in a row and he wanted to do it a fourth, let's do it. Sure, it's your thing, buddy. We're here for you. So to have that coming to an end, he was definitely bumming out there a little bit at the end.
You know, as adults, we go through that. You know, we go through that. Oh, I can remember when we took Cameron to Walt Disney World. We were there for, you know, 7 days. So every morning he was up, you know, as the sun came up, Cameron would be up. The day that we had to go and catch the bus to take us back to the airport, there was no way I could get Cameron out of the bed. He would not get up. And that was him shutting down. He didn't want to go home. He wanted to stay in the magical place. He didn't want to go back to Canada, you know.
The worst part of any Disney vacation is the end.
Yeah. But what memories that you guys must have made. Seriously.
Absolutely. Definitely. It was such a perfect trip. And I'll think about riding Guardians of the Galaxy with him. I don't know. We must have done it 12, 13, 14 times the entire time we were there. And it was fun, just as much fun on the 12th and 13th time as it was the first and the second time. It was awesome.
So when do you guys next go to Disney? Have you got anything planned for later on this year?
We do, actually, and I'm actually going to have to keep this episode a secret from my kids because we have not told them yet, and this is you're getting the podcast scoop of the century here.
Woohoo!
Sheila. This is our first ever trip with all six of our kids. It is officially booked for middle of August later this year.
Oh, cool. So when are you going to tell the kids?
I don't know yet. We haven't come up with a plan. I think we talked about it the very first time you guys had me on the show, because I was talking about our first three trips with the kids. We did one with four and then two with five. And every time we try to have like this awesome like video catching it of telling them and the big surprise, and it ended up being like a flop every single time. So we haven't decided exactly what we're definitely doing this time to tell them yet, but We'll be sure to record it, and it'll be probably more than likely end up being a flop again. So, but we're excited either way to get them down there. For like I said, this is the first time going with all six, and our youngest is now, she'll be 2.5 for this trip. So she's at that awesome age, and the next daughter up she'll be 5 years old at the time. So she's already like talking about, oh, whenever we go to Disney again, I get to do the princess thing like Sydney and Zoe did, and I get to do the Bippity Boppity Boutique. So we're like fingers crossed, like checking all the blogs and news, Disney news sites every day, going, have they announced a date for Bippity Boppity Boutique yet? Because if that thing isn't open when we go in August, we're going to have one crushed little 5-year-old. She has her heart set on getting to do that whenever the next time we go is, so.
My first thought when you talk about taking all the kids, my first thought is, do not lose any of them, Johnny.
Yeah, because that one experience, we make sure, like, it's like we check, double check and triple check the stroller now every time, because we don't want to go through that again.
Yeah, I can't remember what episode it was, but there's an episode, Johnny's first time on our podcast, where he shares the story of how he lost a child.
Yeah, it was. I actually remember the number because I thought it was pretty cool. You let me come on for your bicentennial. I was your 200th episode.
Oh, there you go, listeners. That's it's worth going back, listen to episode 200, and see the trauma that Johnny had to go through.
Yeah, it was a double negative or double whack too, because as a family with this many kids, we're always trying to find a way to bend the rules or beat the system if we can, to try to save a little bit of money to help make these trips possible. And that trip where we lost Hunter, he was actually 3 years old, and we lied to him, and just, well, I wouldn't say we lied to him. We just withheld the truth from him, and we didn't tell him that he turned three, and didn't tell him that he had had a birthday. And we just kind of let it go so that he could think, and more importantly, his older brothers and sisters would think that he's still 2 years old, because that's what we're really afraid of, is that one of them would tell somebody at the gate, like, Hunter's three. And then boom, you get hit with a bill right there on the spot, and they make you fork over extra money. So not only did we lose Hunter, but we lost him while he thought he was a 2-year-old, but he was actually three. So,
yeah, definitely. And thanks, Johnny, for knowing what episode it is. Check out episode 200 with Johnny. It's a good one. Yeah. Okay, so you're going in August. I'm going to book you already to come back, and maybe we can have Hunter or one of two or three or four of the kids join
you. Yeah, if you open that floodgate, you're going to get all of them. There's no way they're going to let one go on and not the other ones. So
I would welcome them with open arms. I really would.
Awesome. Yes. Awesome. Yeah, they would love it. They would love it. I'll give you a spoiler alert too here. We're getting close to Father's Day. I'm pretty sure my next podcast episode will be my first one interviewing all six of the kids. I'm going to try to get all six of them on my next episode. So do a little Father's Day theming episode here and have introduce all my kids to the podcast at the same time together.
Oh my gosh, that's going to be so cool. And yeah. You know, sorry, what was the name of your podcast again?
It is the DMSW Podcast.
You really do Disney, have a podcast for
Disney, Marvel, Star Wars.
Disney, Marvel, Star Wars. And you're new on the scene, but it seems like you're doing extremely well. You're putting out great episodes. It's just really nice that, you know, we did connect. You're a great guest. In fact, you said something the other day to me. Oh, this will be my fourth time on, you know, monorails. What? I'm going to have to stop calling you guest, I think. You know, our friend Johnny J. Johnny
awesome.
J.
Yeah,
from the
having
DM-
a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnny J. from the DMSW podcast. Yeah, that's
like
how I'm going to.
I like it. Sounds good. It took so long to come up with that name, and now it's like, it's literally just like naming a kid. Like, you put in so much time and effort trying to figure out, like, what's the right one? Is that going to sound right? And now that I'm 10 episodes in, it's like, I nailed it. Like, I'm so happy with that, with the choice that I made. It just feels right every time I say it.
Well, I can remember when you first sent it over to me, and I thought, DMSW. Now, you got to remember, I'm not into Marvel. I'm not into Star Wars. Okay. Into Disney. Yep. Yeah. So, but the more I said it, and Steve said the same thing, the more you say it, it's really catchy.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you put Johnny J in front of it, you know, even more so.
Yeah. I had to have that like cool radio guy name. So went with Johnny J. Just grab that last initial.
Yeah, well, you got all three things going for you. You got the name, you got a good, you know, podcast name, and you got the voice for radio. So,
oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Having a blast doing it. It's been just exactly what I wanted to get out of it. It's been so fun, and I've got people reaching out to me and on Instagram and stuff like that, and it's just so fun to just, it's doing exactly what I wanted it to do. It's getting more people talking about Disney, and people are reaching out, and we're just going back and forth sharing Disney stories, and it's just been so awesome. And I say it every time I come on, and I'll say it every time you invite me on in the future. I can't thank you and Steve and everybody from Monorail Tales enough for all the help you guys gave me up front. It's one of the great things about the Disney community, and especially the Disney podcast community. So many people were just so willing to help me and just open arms, give me advice and tips, and let me bounce different show names and artwork off them, that I wouldn't be where I'm at today without all the help from you guys, especially, and a lot of other people along the way that helped me as well. So thank you to you guys big time.
And, you know, for every time you say that, I will also say the same thing for me. And, you know, for Steve, it's been great to be on a journey with you, to see you, you know, go hatch this idea of being a podcaster to actually, you know, giving birth to it, basically. And now you're seeing it grow. And it's nice to be on your journey with you, Johnny. It really is.
I appreciate it. They say everything happens for a reason. And I don't know what brought our forces together, but you will always be my fairy pod mother. And I'm very, very, very glad that our shows will always have a little connection and intertwining forever. So it's perfect. It all worked out perfectly.
And that's why you're not a guest. You are a friend. So there you go.
Awesome.
So definitely you're going to be definitely coming back in August.
Sounds good.
with as many kids as you want to bring on, we'll take them. Seriously.
Sounds good.
Okay, I know I talked over, which I got a really bad habit of doing, when you were giving a where we can find you. Can you do that all over again, Johnny? Because I know I did.
Yeah, talk. Not a problem at all. Yeah, so the name of the show is The DMSW Podcast. Just think Disney, Marvel, Star Wars. That's what my show covers every episode. I try to focus on just a Disney topic, or then the next week I'll do a Marvel topic. So we hit all the different categories there, Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars. The best way to get in touch with me, the platform that I use the most is Instagram. You can find me at The DMSW Podcast, but you can also find me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page under The DMSW Podcast, so if you just type DMSW into the search box, it'll come up. Which, side note, that's another good reason I'm glad I picked the name that I picked, because DMSW just, it, there's no hits anywhere else. So anywhere you go when you're typing in DMSW, you're getting me and just me every single time. So I love any time I'm trying to look up something or check on something and I type in DMSW and it's the only thing that comes up every time. So I love that part too. But if anybody likes to do email, you can get me at the DMSW podcast at gmail.com.
Very good. And for our listeners, you found us. All I can say is, come over to the group, the Facebook group for Monorail Tales. We do have a lot of fun. If Rick and Bill behaves themselves, we do anyway. Most days.
But, I love playing along with everybody there in the Facebook group. If you're not in the Monorail's Tale group yet, get yourself in there, because it's a great group to interact with on Facebook. And every time you guys make a post, there's always a good back and forth with the comments with everybody. So it's a fun time.
We're usually rude to Rick, but he deserves it. What can I say?
that's part of the fun, is busting each other's chops all the time.
For sure. Johnny, I cannot thank you enough for doing this, coming on the show. I really wanted to know how it went with Hunter, and you really gave us, you know, a good report on how your trip went. And I look forward to August. I certainly do. Never know.
I'm tired now. I'm already tired just thinking about it. I'm excited, but I'm already tired thinking about it. But it's going to be good stuff. I can't wait. It's going to first time with the six, so can't wait.
And, you know, we might even see you before then, you know, by having you on one of our game shows as well. So
awesome. Yep. All sounds right. Good. Anytime you guys want me, I'll be here.
Great. All right, my friend. Thanks again. You take care.
You as well.
Good night, listeners. Thanks for staying to the end with us.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn.
Thank you!